Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to start in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He'll be fine on the mountain.
It's time for Inside the Gamecock, the show. Built by the Barnuminium Company, served by Chicken Cock Whiskey, and part of the Chief Sports Network.
Touchdown, Carolina! Touchdown, Ace Sanders! Pressure! Curly just dives in!
Jamie Bradford.
What is honor? By definition, honor used as a noun is quoted in the dictionary as having a good name or showing of usually merited respect. Used as a verb, to regard or treat with admiration. Used in baseball, it can be used as both a noun and a verb. And in college baseball, well...
The pitch, swing and a drive, deep right field towards the scoreboard, it clears it, another long ball.
What does My Carolina mean to me? It means playing for great, legendary baseball coaches like Bobby Richardson and June Raines, and knowing another legendary baseball coach in Ray Tanner.
But I know when I lost my wife, he was just absolutely a rock for me.
When you have that much impact on people's lives, it shows how genuine you were.
It's just going to be sorely missed just because people like Tommy Moody, they're just not out there.
We're going to miss him, no doubt. But there's also that part that we're going to celebrate who Tommy Moody was. And we all should strive to impact other people the way Tommy Moody did.
Tommy Moody was a part of this program, will always be a part. And when that next ring comes along, he'll be there.
Well, no. hit the air to left field, backed it up on it as well. Spit, he's at the wall, he leaps, it's out of here! It's out of here! It's a home run! And the Gamecocks have won the game!
South Carolina, Georgia, the border battle, Founders Park. A lot on the line. This is college baseball. Stay tuned.
It's going to be rocking tonight at Founders Park. The postseason will be dictated in some sort of fashion when the Dogs and the Gamecocks play. Welcome home. Inside the Gamecocks, the show built by the Barndo Co., served by Chicken Cock Bourbon, and always live from the Signorama Studios, the preferred sign partner of your South Carolina Gamecocks, where tonight they'll welcome a big-time matchup. Georgia is in town, and maybe a host position is on the line. Both of them right now projected to host based on the recent projections, but things can change. All those great moments brought to you before the season started, updated a little bit as the regular season is coming down to an end here, and we'll see if they can get it done. JC, JB, and Phil until 2 o'clock. Chad Holbrook will be here in 10 minutes. Debbie Antonelli will be here in 50 minutes. Derek Scott will be here at 1 o'clock. Got a full boat, and we'll preview this series and the rest of the SEC inside and out. There's obviously some football news out there. We'll try to mix in here and there. But this one, guys, it's all about Carolina baseball. Softball as well, of course. They did get a win last night, and they're going to be playing really late tonight because there are rain delays already in Auburn, Alabama. We hope everybody that is listening and that you know that has been going through some of these storms is safe. There are storms coming through Columbia. They're expected to be out of town by 4 o'clock, and then a picture-perfect weekend from a weather standpoint for baseball. Glad to be back with you guys. Sorry that I was gone for a few days, but certainly ready to roll here with the Dogs and the Cocks going at 8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, man. Happy to have you back. Good to see you. Glad you got some time. Spend a little time with the family, which is always good. But, yeah, we missed you. Good to have you back.
Well, I thought about day three. Yesterday's show was just nothing went right. Nothing went right on JC and Morgan. I mean, the first 2 days were a breeze. Then like something, the ghosts were in the machine yesterday because it was kind of a brutal here without you, dude. So certainly glad that to adjust my mic, so certainly glad that you're back with us today. I probably sound much better now. Kind of weird to have a Thursday series this week, and I don't know if television is the reason why.
Yes,
the start time is yeah. Weird because of TV, and then tomorrow's 5:30 on a Friday, which you know it's tough to get there, you know, for some folks, but hopefully that doesn't keep too many people away. In baseball, you know, sometimes it's slow moving, and if you're 30 minutes late, you only miss an inning. So sometimes you miss five, but you know, it just kind of depends on the game. So hopefully everybody gets out there. I know they're pushing cheap tickets across the board. I know the Letterman's Association, if you're a Letterman, had $7 tickets. They're really making an effort to get some big crowds out there. And, you know, I think this team deserves in a situation like this, the last home series of the season against a university that you always want to beat in every single sport when you play them and vice versa, that they deserve it. So if you have an opportunity to go, I would go. You know, I think that that's it's just important for a number of reasons. Unfortunately, Georgia's coming in red hot. And it's one of those things where they've turned out to be a really good offensive baseball team this year, and we'll see if the Gamecocks can't slow them down. I didn't hear the pitching. I think it's still Kimball
Jones. It's the same. Yeah, they'll go with Kimball, Eli, and then TBA.
With the Thursday, they can't move Eli back because Eli pitched Saturday. You can't pitch him on that much rest. So, I have a feeling he's going to go back at some point, but they're just going to keep it like it is. So, JB, I think, you know, I think sometimes in situations you're like, well, okay, Roman Kimball's getting the start. Well, let's hope he has a good start because we all love Roman Kimball. And then the next thing is, well, I hope his finger's okay and he goes more than two. Now, man, I think it's really important and you know, he needs to go about four or five. I mean, I don't know if he can. This lineup's really good. I think it is putting this team behind the eight ball. Unless every starter was less than stellar and the bullpen had to kind of, you know, take him there. But I think Roman Kimball's performance tonight, I mean, it's time to go. You know, it's time to have one of those good starts, go multiple innings. When you get taken out, the crowd gives you a standing ovation. I think we've waited on this guy for a while through Tommy John and everything else last year. And I think through no fault of his own, he's had to be taken out, or some days he just doesn't have it. But I think tonight his performance is critical because against this lineup, I don't see them having the success getting into the bullpen that they did against Missouri, which was by all accounts the opposite of a light hitting team hitting 210 in SEC play coming in.
Yeah, so five total innings last weekend by your starting pitchers. That's going to have to be better against a team like Georgia that swings it the way that they do. So all three of these guys last weekend had different situations. They all three can pitch, and they all three deserve to be starting. Roman Kimball, spin rate is a big part of baseball now, and I'm going to make this short and sweet so we can get to Coach Holbrook on time. But Roman Kimball is excellent when his spin rate is excellent. The problem is the way that he's been holding the baseball is creating cramps in his thumb. So they've been working on that. They feel good about it. And he's going to get the start tonight, and he is absolutely good enough to slow this Georgia team down. I'm not sure how many people can flat out shut them down. I'm not sure that's possible, but he is good enough, and I agree with that. I think that those five last weekend, it needs to be three times that. You want to try to get 15 innings out of your starting pitchers this weekend. Eli Jones is a confidence deal. We've watched him get plenty of people out over the years. He just needs to get more confident. And when he misses, don't miss down the middle of the plate. And then same thing with Dylan Eskew, but on the reverse side of that, just throw more strikes. Just a couple of weeks ago, Dylan Eskew was a hero against Kentucky. He's not a villain. He had a bad outing last week because he couldn't get the ball across the plate. They had to win that game to win the series, and they had to make a change early. Had that been maybe Saturday and they were already up 1-0, you might have seen a longer leash. If they were up 2-0, you might have seen a little bit of a longer leash to work the kinks out. But they had to go get him. And so all three of those guys are healthy and they're ready to go. I think they'll pitch well. I really do. And we'll see where Ty Good falls in all this. And clearly last week it was interesting to see them go early to Garrett Gainey. They felt like that was the best matchup, and he was phenomenal. And he was phenomenal because of a game-saving catch in the outfield by Austin Brindling. So, you know, my two – critical points, and then we'll hit a timeout here, would be this. You're going to have to get 15 innings out of your starting pitchers this weekend, and you got to hit. And Georgia's team ERA is around 5.30 or so. It's up in the mid fives in SEC play. This is a team that they can hit against, and I think they will. They're ready to go. I talked to a couple of folks up there this morning, and they're fired up and ready to go tonight on ESPN2. At 8 o'clock, that's been moved, in case anybody missed that, is on ESPN2. But, of course, Derek, who will be here at 1, and Stuart, who will be here tomorrow, will be on the call at 7:45. So let's slide to a timeout. We've got Chad Holbrook coming up next. We'll certainly talk to him about the Dogs and get his thoughts on Charlie Condon. His Cougars are playing incredibly well. And he's about to release a new episode of Chin Music with a guy you're all very familiar with, Steven Garcia. And Coach and I were texting back and forth yesterday about some of what is on this thing. So it's a full-fledged conversation about baseball and football and everything beyond with one of our favorite people, one of the best guests you can find, Chad Holbrook. Hang tight. Inside the Gamecocks, the show powered by Electric Bikes of Charleston. We'll be right back.
We got started in 1979. Because we're a manufacturer, we're able to control our costs. That's why we like to manufacture as much of the product as we can, because in our factory stores, we can offer a competitive edge over other people around the country. When people come into one of our Palm Casuals, it's like they're buying their car at Detroit. They're going right to the factory and buying their car.
30-day money-back guarantee. That's a big deal with us. I mean, we get 30 days to do anything. I mean, return it, change it, get a different color, get your money back.
When you pull into a store and it says Palm Casual, you know you're at a factory store.
Rescues and Resin, proud supporters of Carolina Rise. They are also proud partners of the show. They make products you can't get anywhere else. Custom designed wood and resin products that make your tailgate, make your home, or make anything stand out. Order a custom cutting board, coasters, wall art, tables, and more. Contact Dustin and Tabitha at rescuesandresin.com today. Rescuesandresin.com, and put your imagination to work. Rescues and Resin, proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
It's 2024, and it's time to get in shape. Charleston Fitness Equipment can help you do just that in Mount Pleasant. The Wilkins family, big Gamecock fans and proud supporters of Carolina Rise and our programming on the Chief Sports Network. But most importantly, proud supporters of you getting healthy and staying healthy. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Find them on the Chief Sports app and in Mount Pleasant. Happy New Year.
We welcome you to Founders Park. It's time for baseball, folks. That ball ripped to right and deep and gone. Swinging a drive. Left field, way back and gone. Hits the ball into the air the opposite way. Has he done it twice? Yes, he has.
Mounted to left. Taylor to the wall.
There's a high drive. That ball is back. That ball is way out of here. A grand slam home run for Ethan Petrie. What else can this young man do there? It's high. Goodness, that ball was killed.
This is Ethan Petrie from Gamecock Baseball. You are now listening to Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Be loud. No Gamecocks.
Presented by Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com.
It is 11:22. It is Thursday, and it is almost the weekend. Kind of feels like it with a lot of baseball being played tonight. Welcome back inside the Gamecocks, the show powered by Electric Bikes of Charleston, electricbikescharleston.com. It's in Mount Pleasant, but people shop there from everywhere, and we just love Dan and Michelle Wilkins, who own it. Huge Carolina fans. They're big Chad Holbrook fans, by the way, as well. And they love Gamecock baseball, and they love making sure that this state stays healthy with those electric bikes. You see them everywhere. They've got them for kids, they've got them for adults, mountains, beach, everywhere in between. Electric Bikes Charleston. .com. All right, we're going to get to Garcia in a minute, but I got a baseball question for you here, dude. I'm going to give you some numbers, and you match the name to the stats. 459 batting average, 33 home runs, 69 RBI. Who's that?
The most impressive baseball season maybe in college baseball history.
It's not over.
Video game numbers, man. That's Charlie crazy. Condon, man. Crazy. Yeah, and, you know, his story's really cool, too. Many of you probably don't know. You know, the kid walked on at Georgia. He was not highly recruited. He wasn't a elite high school prospect. He's a self-made kid that worked his tail off. I believe actually he redshirted his first year at Georgia, if I'm not mistaken, and has turned himself into maybe the first pick of the first round in this year's draft. An incredible story. I mean, those numbers are – that's – hitting a baseball against SEC pitching is very, very, very hard. Hitting it against any type of pitching is very hard. What he's done is completely insane. I mean, maybe the best season I've ever seen.
I imagine he stands up there and just watches it come out of their hands like Neo in the Matrix, right? I mean, that's what those numbers kind of feel for me. You know, like you see,
dive into the great hitters. You know, I would love to like pick his brain on what's going on between his ears, and his vision is probably he probably got, you know, eagle eye vision. I mean, it's probably way better than 20/20. It's probably 20/10ish. You know, all the great hitters just have elite vision, and he can probably pick up spin. I would love the metrics on that, how quick he picks up fastball versus breaking ball out of the hand. I mean, all those things are probably – those are gifts you can't teach, you can't coach. His hand-eye coordination is very difficult to coach. He's just one of the best hitters in college baseball, and he's putting together one of the best seasons we've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would love to pick his brain. I love to talk to the great hitters because they make it sound so easy, you know, and like Justin. I mean, Justin and I have been talking hitting since we were 13 years old. And like you said, it's really hard to hit something that's coming at you 95. And then the next one's it's like 75 and it's moving 2 or 3 feet sometimes.
Crazy.
You know, or it looks like it's about to hit you and then it ends up right down the middle. And you're like, yeah, that's impossible.
Hey, a Justin Smoke story. Hey, we're traveling with our team. We were flying up to where were we going? It's all running together on me. We were up north. We flew out last week. We flew to Towson, flew to Baltimore. We're in the airport terminal, and Mike Sisko and Justin Smoke were in our terminal and had a great conversation with those guys. And yeah, it was cool to chat with them. They were on their way to Nashville.
Yeah,
Morgan Wallen. I bet they got in some trouble.
They almost did. Well, Kyle was going too. Kyle Jordan went.
Yeah, Kyle was there. I didn't see Kyle, but yeah, so.
Yeah, yeah. Let me tell you, don't let them. Okay,
when Smoke had a cowboy hat on.
Yeah, I know. When Kristen and Adele and all them are around, those dudes ain't in charge. They act like they're in charge. They ain't in charge when Adele.
That's how we all. Right?
I've been yelled at by their wives, and I'm like, I'm not even married to you. Why are you yelling at me? Yelling him. So yeah, they survived. They're home. For what it's worth, by the way, in the regular season series last year, Condon was 4-for-10 against the Gamecocks with one home run. And he hits in a ballpark where the ball does leave the yard. It gets out of Athens in a hurry. Farthest ball I ever saw hit. And you talk about Smoke. I joke with him about this all the time. When Carolina hit the 5 in a row in 2006, Smoke, you know, to this day, my ball went 500 feet. I said, Justin, Phil Disher's ball pastures in the air like a Boeing airplane passing a kite. I said, it wasn't even close. Disher's ball went so far, it landed in Atlanta. And then they went back 2 years later and Smoke hit a ball in the trees in right center, and it broke a limb. Off a tree and it fell in, but the ball does get out up there,
right?
And depending on what's going on in Founders Park, as you know, it can get out of Founders Park some nights too.
Yeah.
So we'll see how they.
Should be a great series. Two great teams playing at a high level. I think both teams are hot. You hit it right before I came on. You know, you hit it right on the head. Our team is facing a similar series in a similar matchup. And you, I think you hit the nail on the head. You said, hey, we got to hit. And, I don't think you're going to win games 2-1. Or if you're preparing to win those games 3-2 or 2-1, you know, you might be preparing wrong. Old Bobby Bowden used to say that when he'd play Steve Spurrier's teams when he was at Florida. He'd say, you can't prepare against Steve Spurrier's team to win 10-7 or you're going to get your tail kicked. So you got to be able to hit, and you got to be out of for them. And, you're at home, and it should be a lot of energy in the stands. And it's hard to pick against South Carolina in a home series that means so much, and with so many people involved and playing well. Money's on the Gamecocks for sure.
We'll see. Yeah, I it's 8 o'clock first pitch tonight on ESPN2. Let me ask you a baseball question here, because I think it was last week, Coach Lake's been excellent on the radio with Derek this year.
Love him. Yeah.
He's Coach Lake, man. Yeah. I mean, how you not
like him? What a teddy bear, man. Love that guy.
He is. He's so positive, and he's just so kind. But, you know, he's got a great baseball mind. And Derek was talking about Condon kind of previewing the series a little bit. That's next weekend, but, you know, what do you do here? How do you pitch this guy? Whatever. So let me ask you a question. Hypothetically, okay, you're playing the College of Charleston. Y'all are playing
walking.
Hey, bases are loaded, and you've got. I mean, if you got a one run lead, you got to pitch to him, obviously. Right. But like, isn't that what do you do if you've got a lead 2-3 runs? And bases are loaded and he's at the plate. You don't intentionally walk him, but you unintentionally see if you can get him to chase something. If not, so what? I mean, what do you do? What would you do?
Well, sometimes the game forces you to pitch to him. And, you know, you're going to go into this series and say, hey, we're not going to let this guy beat us. And anytime he comes up with the chance to beat you and there's a base open or you can put him on, whether there's a base open or not, if you've married that thought, that's what you do. But you always have to keep in mind, what's his batting average, Jamie? What's his batting average right now?
Yeah, .459.
Okay, so if you have to pitch it to him, what are the chances he makes an out?
55%.
Well, you know, the odds and the numbers are in your corner. You know, so, you know, Coach Tanner taught me this, man. You always play the numbers as best you can when there's no place to put somebody or there's no – the game dictates you can't pitch to him. Now, these numbers are a little bit different. You know, we've seen Barry Bonds get walked in a major league game with the bases loaded. We've seen things like this happen before in our game. But if you have to pitch to him, the odds and the numbers are still on your side that you're going to find a way to get an out. That's why baseball is so beautiful. I mean, and, you know, hope, you know, if he can't tie the game late in the game, you pitch to him. You know, if he can't win the game, obviously you pitch to him. There's a base open and they got things going and you don't want him in the middle of a rally. I think you put him on. And, you know, as coaches, when you go into a game and you say, that guy is not beating us, you will, and that's what your thought is, then you will do things against what the book tells you to do. And that might be the right thing to do.
Man, I can't stomach walking somebody with the bases loaded, intentionally or unintentionally.
Okay, but let's do some numbers here, all right?
Yeah.
Bases are loaded, and you're up 2 runs, and Condon's coming up, and you're in the ninth inning. What do you do?
I mean, so
– okay.
I'll walk him.
I walk him and make somebody else beat you because if you walk in the run, okay, you're still up a run, and then the guy hitting behind Condon, your percentages of getting an out based on his batting average or his slugging goes more into your favor. There's so many the beauty of the game is this, and this is what people a lot of times watching baseball don't realize. It's only the right decision if it works.
Yeah.
However, you can make the right decision with all the information that you have at your disposal, and it still not work. And that's the beauty of our game. It becomes the correct decision and the smart decision when it works. But
that's true.
You know what I mean? I mean, you're in a pickle. I mean, great players can put you in a pickle. You know, and that's what you get when you face a great player. But it'll be interesting. I can't wait to watch it on TV tonight to see that. Here's the easy fix.
We're making this way too complicated. Don't let anybody get on base in front of him.
Right. I'm gonna follow my own sword here. All right. So I had a similar situation at South Carolina. It did not work out. Clemson, the left-handed hitter, drawing a blank.
Was it Beer?
Okay.
So I remember this one.
So Seth Beer came up in the 2 outs in the ninth and nobody on base. And we had a left-handed pitcher out there and Seth was a left-handed hitter. And what do you do? You have a guy named Pinder behind Beer. He's a right-handed hitter who feasts on left-handed pitching.
Yep.
And then you have Beer who was cold at that point in time. He was hitting 220 early in the year.
but he's the most feared hitter in college baseball. Well, I made the decision that I thought was the right one to pitch to him because he couldn't win the game. He could only tie it. And we got the last bat. Incredible at bat, two outs, two strikes. I mean, he fouled off 10 pitches, I don't know how many, and he hit a home run. It didn't work out. But if I'm in that situation again, knowing what I'll know, the numbers in front of me, I still pitched to him, even though it didn't work out. The numbers said pitch to him. Condon is a little bit different. You know, it's one, because his numbers are saying don't let him. I mean, think about the percentage of hits he has, and those percentage of hits are what are extra base hits or home runs.
Yeah. Well, or,
it makes you think outside the box.
Oh, who's way outside the box.
You got Veach. I know Veach. I put Veach in there until you got one of the best defensive catchers in the game. I put Veach in there and tell him to throw it like where one of those balls where it looks like it's going to him and it goes in the dirt.
Right.
And just dare him to swing. And if you walk him, you walk him. I mean, who else? Is there another junk baller on the team that can just throw?
Let me explain the downside of that. Here's how coach thinks on that. Hey, just throw it in the dirt. Don't let him hit it. Well, these kids are amateur pitchers. I mean, you tell him to throw it in the dirt, and all of a sudden the release point happens, and he hangs it, and bam. He's like, why didn't you just walk it? You were going to walk
right.
You know what I mean? And these, sometimes where you call the pitch, it isn't necessarily where the pitcher throws it. And you know, so when you're making a decision with that hitter, you almost – oh, man. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. We had a similar situation in North Carolina, a guy named Chase Utley. Many of you remember, we were playing UCLA. And we went in with the same that this guy is not hitting. This was back in like, 1997 or 8. But this, and we didn't let him hit. I mean, we just put him on. And we ended up winning. You know, sometimes when you don't let your guy get off, meaning swing and get his hacks off, and sometimes that deflates that team. And, you know, that's something that a coach is going to have to make a decision on too. Sometimes when you know, hey, you're taking our best hitter out, and sometimes it can work for you, it can work against you. It'd be interesting to see. You know, one of the cool things would be maybe in the first inning just to put him on and say, hey, big boy, you ain't getting a pitch to hit all weekend long.
Yeah.
You're going to let his guard down and then all of a sudden go at him. I mean, you never. There's so many games that can be played.
I was about that. I agree with you. You know, go ahead and just. I'm with you.
Walk to first base, big boy. You're going to do it 3 straight games, 4 straight bats. You can leave your bat in the dugout.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about bringing your bat to the plate.
Yeah. Hey, go on.
Don't even hit the on-deck circle. Just walk to first, buddy.
And he lets his guard down, and maybe his mind's like, shit, they ain't going to let me hit. And then all of a sudden, boom.
Or you go real bush league here, and you get everybody loose in the bullpen, and every pitch you make a move.
Hey, now, that's a great idea. Now, especially if you get 2 strikes on him. Yeah. I mean, that's the unconventional thing. And I've done that a time or two down here because I'm less scrutinized down here. I put a relief pitcher in with 2 strikes with a good breaking ball. And Mississippi State used to do that a lot in SEC play. They would they get 2 strikes on you, and then it comes a submariner. And you're like, damn, that's hard for a hitter, man. You get 1 pitch.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not the only one thing. I was thinking I was crazy for thinking that. I was like, just switch pitchers mid at bat. You know,
if it doesn't work, you look like an idiot. But in many cases, it might be the smart thing to do.
Yeah, I
mean, pitching to him, you look like an idiot most of the time. Is what he's doing to guys this year.
The situation dictates everything, you know. Yeah. I mean, if you got a 2-run lead in the ninth inning on a Sunday, you might not have many arms left in that bullpen to be able to go get. You know, I don't know. I'm anxious to see.
I would love to see. I wouldn't. I don't want any coach to have to. You know, I'm pro coach, so I know. I hate coaches having to make incredibly difficult decisions. It's like, you know, I start getting nervous for them. But it would be interesting to see. I don't know what if the bases are loaded on game 3, rubber game, top of the ninth, 2 outs, up 2 runs, and the bases are loaded, and he walks up to hit. That would be an interesting situation to see. You know, we had a – I don't know if you remember this, Georgia Southern in 2010 regional, I believe. They had a kid named Victor Roach, I believe was his name. He's leading the nation in home runs.
I remember him.
And he came up with 2 outs in the ninth, and it was Matt Price against Roach.
And it was one of the best battles, best at bats I remember in that dugout. And Matt couldn't get him to swing and miss. Matt couldn't get him his foul. I mean, he was on it. He was taking these big hacks and like, he's getting ready to hit one out, tie this game. He's getting ready to hit one out, tie this game. And Matt Price, the last pitch of the game, he dropped down, completely shocked him, surprised him, surprised us as coaches, because he very rarely did that, but he did it in high school a lot. He couldn't get him to swing and miss, so he just dropped down on his own, and it froze Roach, and boom, strike three, he didn't even swing.
I remember that, and I was about to, we're going to move on, but I was about to ask you too. You talk about Price and Roach. Well, the one thing I remember about Matt and knowing him a little bit, but also just watching him pitch, is he had a big old giant set of nuts on him. Nothing intimidated him. There was no moment that was too big for Matt Price. So you get in a situation like this. You know, you got to play. You're playing as a coach, right? You're playing numbers. You're playing matchups, but then you're also playing like, dude, who's my toughest dude?
Yeah,
like, who's just going to refuse to get beat out there?
And what message do you send your team if you put him on all? Or do you think he's not? You think I'm not better than him? You know what I mean? Like you, I mean, the guys like Matt Price would get offended if you told Matt Price to put somebody on. Hey, I get this guy out. You know what I mean? There's something to be said about that too. In the way that you coach, you believe in your guy that's on the bump. You know, and but the kids also got to understand the coach has got tough decisions to make when you're facing a player like Condon. So it'll be made for TV stuff tonight. I'm looking forward to watching that one.
All right, I'm going with Ty Good. Strikes him out in the ninth to preserve the win. Your guy, it's your guy.
Ty could do it. That would be a good one to put against him with two strikes and knowing he's got four pitches he can throw, not knowing which one's coming. Ty would be a good one for that. He would thrive in that situation, no doubt about it.
Love watching him pitch. All right. So here you are, Coach. Yesterday, you know, we got to have a word with Aaron Fitt about this, but they've got you in the first four out right now. First four out. Now, that's at large, I think, right?
Yeah, they'd probably consider an at large there. Yeah, that's a compliment in a way that we're in the conversation. I think that I mean, there's no way for them to know. There's no way for them to know what's going to happen the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks of the season with the conference tournaments. Got a lot of baseball to play. I don't get caught up into that stuff. I'm glad that we're sitting here in May and part of the conversation that we won 34 out of 45 games. And, you know, I mean, we're in a good spot. To be in the conversation is a really good credit to our kids. And hopefully we can play well down the stretch and become one of those, you know, I don't know. Last four in or just get in. Don't matter how you get in, just try to get in. And we're going to try to do that. But, yeah, I mean, I don't get caught up on these guys. There's that, one, they're not in the room in the committee. And two, they do great work. And they almost pick it 100% every time. But there's a lot of baseball to be played, too. I would be a little bit more nervous if everything was done. If the hay was in the barn, the conference tournaments are over, and we're 24 hours outside of selection show – and he's saying it then I would be a little bit concerned because they're very intelligent at what they're very good with the numbers and they know what they're doing up there.
So y'all, I don't want to be the one, because if I jinx you, you can yell at me. That's fine. But you've only lost twice since March 29th. What's the magic potion in there right now?
Oh, we have some good kids that believe they're going to win and they're older and they're more mature. So they don't get all flustered when we get behind in the game. And they get along. I think the biggest thing is I'm around a team in a dugout that the kids all like each other and get along. And it's kind of been a joy to be a part of, to be honest with you. I've done very little coaching. I hadn't had to coach them much. And hey, let's stay on the same – let's pull the rope in the same direction. Let's pull for each other, whether we're in there or in the starting lineup or not. Let's try to win. They've loved winning. You know, some teams like winning more than other teams, you know. Mm-hmm. And this team loves to win. And so that's been really refreshing for me to watch and to see. And we're going to hopefully continue that feeling that we have in our dugout. Hopefully we can continue that for the rest of the year.
That was the Chin Music guest line ringing in the background there. So you got Northeastern this weekend. They're 33-13 and they can pitch. This could be the series of the year in the CAA.
Mid-major baseball is one of the best. You know, we've had a few you know, media folks reach out and say this might be one of the best mid-major series as we've had in a long time. You know, it is what it is. We try to go win tomorrow, win one game at a time, and try to go 1-0 tomorrow. And that's kind of our mindset. They are good. I mean, yeah. They have some The numbers they're putting up offensively are very, very good. They can pitch it. They're well coached. They're tough. It's always, you know, when I was at South Carolina, it was always a lot of fun to compete. Like when we played Arkansas, like you knew it was tough. They were tough. We were tough. Let's see who the toughest team is. You know, we get that feeling down here when we play Northeastern. There's a lot of respect on both sides.
You think Tom Glavine will be in attendance watching his brother coach against you?
You know, I don't know. I mean, he came to Columbia that year. We played him in South Carolina. That'll be cool to see. I love Mike Glavine. He's a great coach, and love watching his teams play and compete. So it's it'll be a battle for sure.
We need to get Maddox and Smoltz on your team.
Those guys are good, man.
I'm still thoroughly convinced the best actual pitcher that I've ever watched with my own two eyes is Greg Maddox. I'm not so sure of. I saw him pitch in person. I saw Pedro pitch in person, and I don't think you could beat either one of them when they were in their prime. I don't care what lineup they're up against.
You know, I think I told our pitching staff the other day. I think Greg Maddox at Wrigley Field when he was with the Braves, he threw a 79 pitch complete game, and I think it was 68 or 69 strikes. And one of my college roommates was on that Braves team, a guy named Brad Woodall, and Brad said, you know, he threw 12 balls out of 79 pitches, and he said, I kid you not, 8 or 9 were balls that he threw on purpose. You know, I mean, think about that for a minute. A 79 pitch complete game in which every pitch that he threw was almost perfectly placed. I mean, amazing. Now, seven or eight different pitches too, you know. I mean,
the question with both Glavine and Maddox, though, is could they pitch at that level in the new era of baseball with the strikes on the way that it is? And
It'd be very difficult for Tom Glavine.
Yeah.
Very difficult. I mean, but you can't. He's a Hall of Famer. You can't say he couldn't. He probably Hall of Famers figure out ways to get it done, even though when things might be, you know, lined up against them. But that's a very interesting conversation to have because this strike zone stuff is, oh man, it's a whole new deal. And both in college and pro. And I mean, some of those pitches that were called strikes back in the playoffs in the 90s with Eric Gregg being the umpire that were that far off the plate. Bobby Lopez was setting up in the other batter's box, and it would hit the mitt, and they would say strike. And like, it's like 3 feet off the plate.
You can't hit that, man.
And now you have to throw it up at Nat's behind to get a strike call.
Nobody could hit it. It'd be in the chalk. You're like, what? Like, I would lose my lunch if that was
that playoff series against the Marlins that year with the Braves. It was some of the most asinine strike calls I've ever seen in the game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you YouTube it and you're like, good night, man. How are the kids supposed to hit that pitch?
I don't know. There was Hall of Fame hitters during that period, too. Some of them figured it out, some of them didn't. Okay. All right. So, Steven Garcia.
Man, one of the coolest hours of my life. Honestly, and certainly one of the coolest hours since we started Chin Music. He couldn't have been better. He couldn't have been nicer. He couldn't have been more open. You know, we asked him some questions I think a lot of media folks wouldn't stay away from. And he didn't shy away from answering anything. I think the Gamecock fans will really, really grow to love him even more after hearing the talk. And, you know, and what a great guy he's turned into, a great husband, dad, the mentoring he's doing for other folks and giving back to the football community. One of the things I told him, I was like, you know, and I think Gamecock Nation feels this way to a degree, is this is how I feel. And as a football fan and working there during that time frame, when somebody mentions the name Steven Garcia to me, I don't think about what happened off the field or his button heads with Eric Hyman or the trouble he got into. I don't think about that. I think about that October Saturday afternoon against Alabama when he was darn near perfect. Yeah. And I think about the respect he had amongst his teammates. I remember Gilmore saying, "That's my quarterback." You know, those things give me chills. And hearing him talk, and seeing how much he's grown up and talked about, you know, here's another thing people don't know. You know, when we were in Omaha in 10 and 11, Stephen Garcia flew out on his own dime to watch us play. And I told him yesterday on the podcast, your name in the dugout in Omaha when we're trying to win a national championship was brought up all the time. I remember walking up and down the dugout, either using the restroom or getting a cup of water. Freaking Garcia's here. Our players were talking about it all the time. His influence in our dugout, I mean, it was cool. I mean, there was a, you know, our players respected him. He respected our players. In many ways, I kind of drew this parallel yesterday between him and Michael Roth. And because they're both free spirits, they both had insane amount of fun at 5 points or off the field. But one got caught and one didn't. But at the same time, they weren't much different. And we talked about that. But then we talked about, you know, his son, his mentoring, you know, what happened after, you know, the Saturday night festivities after that Alabama game. That was an interesting conversation. It was really, really enjoyable for me to talk with him. I think a Gamecock fans and Gamecock football fans will really, really, really love hearing the conversation.
Now you got to get Pat on so he can tell you the rest of the story about all the times Steven actually didn't get caught because of Pat.
You know, I asked Steven this question. And I'm not gonna give him my answer, but he answered it. I thought he wouldn't. Like, the best football player you ever played with during your time at South Carolina. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of NFL players on that team, and there's a lot of and he went against a lot of them when they were on defense. When he was in practice because the defensive line the defense was loaded. Like, give me who's the best football player you played with in your time as a Gamecock, and it was an interesting answer.
Yeah, he, you know, I say this often, and people will probably begin, you know, you'll see Steven more soon.
He mentioned that.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, that's right. You know, but I remember when he got to South Carolina in 2007. And I met him through a friend. I wouldn't call us friends at the time, but we became friends. We're certainly, I mean, here we are 17 years later, we're still buddies. But I remember when he came in and it was certainly that hotshot feel. And he portrayed that.
Right.
But I also remember his final years in 2010 and then in 2011 before Coach Spurrier had to kick him out off the team, and how much he had grown up, even though he had still made some poor decisions. I'm talking about as a person.
Right.
And, you know, we talked last week for probably 45 minutes on the phone about all kinds of stuff. And when I got off the phone, it hit me that I'm 38 and Steven's a little bit younger than I am. And a lot of that conversation, like how different it is talking about our kids, right, and things to do with our kids and as a dad and yada yada. Just, I was like, man, I don't know that if you would have told me in 2007 or 2008 that 2024 Steven Garcia and I'd be sitting on the phone talking about parenting, right, for 30 minutes. And then it's like, oh yeah, I forgot. We got to talk about work too.
And we talked about that. And you know, his son Memphis is a prospect. And
yeah,
going to be the starting quarterback on his high school team, and is going to be, you know, recruited at a high level. And we talked about that, like him mentoring him. Hey, is it a do as I say, not as I did type thing? How do you help him learn from what you went through and what you did? And we had some parenting talk there, and I thought that was really, really cool. He, what an intelligent guy. People don't give him credit how smart that guy is.
Very, I mean,
you, just talking to him, you're like, and then, you know, and then he talked about his love for Steve Spurrier and, you know, and how Jerry always had his back. And there were some really cool thoughts there. And then, you know, the battles that he had with Eric Kiman it was,
who didn't have battles with Eric Kiman?
I know Ray Tanner did.
Yeah.
Darren Horn.
Thank God Coach Tanner. Yeah, that's right, JC. Thank God Coach Tanner's the bigger man here. or else a lot of things might have not happened around here.
You know, and I honestly wanted to go even down a bigger rabbit hole with Steven, but I didn't necessarily feel it was appropriate. We're going to have him on. We're going to have him in studio. But, like, yeah, I mean, even him coming back, you know, for the reunion and how long it took him to come back to Columbia after he left. And, you know, there were some fascinating thoughts and conversations. And and our people, like Scotty Fryer and Colin, and huge Gamecock football fans, is like, you know, you were one of us, you know. Us Gamecock fans, we like to have a good time too. We go to the games and let our hair down and scream and yell and maybe drink, you know, a flask or two. And you're one of us, and we still consider you that. And I thought that made it cool, and I think that made Stephen feel pretty cool too.
Well, I'm so glad that worked out, and he's a great interview because you ask him a question, you get an answer. I mean, he just, or if he doesn't know the answer, he'll tell you.
There's no filter, and it's what's on his mind is coming through his lips and coming out of his mouth, and that made the interview great
are
too.
You clipping that?
Yeah, we're gonna have some clips.
What about the part you texted me yesterday? Is that getting clipped out?
Or? Well, I think we got to include it unless you tell me not to. Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't care. No, include
it. It was a figure of speech, and I mean, I'll cut to the chase. He had a quote about his disdain for how he was treated by our athletic director at the time. And, but that's who Steve, you know, it was beautiful. And you know, I was always a fan, and I knew, having talked to you about, it's one good dude, man. It's one good dude. And I knew that. But then when you have a conversation with him, you even feel better about it. That, mm-hmm. This dude is intelligent. Smart, fascinating in many stretches. His own man, the man's man. There's no, hey, I'm going to do the politically correct thing and not say anything. No, I'm going to answer your question. And he did. And it was refreshing, man. And it was refreshing to see, you know, the type of person he's become or is now. And hey, we're all in college once. We all did stupid stuff. He just happened to be the quarterback. And all eyes were on him all the time. And he said he got smart after that Alabama game and didn't go to 5 points. He brought 5 points to his house. That was an interesting call.
Atta boy, Steven.
He is a good person. I reconnected with him, I think, around 2015 in Greenville when he hit me up. He was coaching some kids, quarterback, wanted me to come out and kind of take a look at some of them and stuff. And you can just tell, you here's a guy that was at peace with his life, not bitter about what happened. Like a lot of guys, there's a lot of players that actually did not get kicked off the team at South Carolina that hold probably a grudge very publicly about like how their careers went, you know?
Right.
Steven didn't give it a go anywhere else. Just kind of went on and moved on with life. And, you know, while I wasn't friends with him, I was covering him while he was in high school.
Right.
I mean, in college and high school, I'm proud of the guy, you know, just as someone that has an affinity for South Carolina and that now knows him and considers him a friend, I think. And as far as an interview and a media talent goes, there's a big now there looking back. And I think there's a big looking forward for him too. I think he's got some it. People, just in the interviews that we've had with him, I think he's been on twice. Our numbers are up. So there you go. Your numbers don't go up, right? he's just that people still want to know what he has to say. And it's because of the way he says it and the way he thinks about it and the way he is bold. And like you said, we'll answer anything. You don't get any kind of canned answer with him. And in today's world, that's very refreshing.
Yeah, there's no question. Did he freeze? Catch Holbert freeze on us? He froze. What do we do about this? See if you can't get him back in there. It's we've only got about 30 seconds left. We got to get to a timeout. Debbie Antonelli is coming up next. These two know each other quite well, Coach Holbrook and Debbie Antonelli, as a matter of fact. We will talk with Debbie about the 24 Hours of Nothing But Net event that's coming up, and she's got some thoughts on both Gamecock men's and women's basketball as well. The new Chin Music with Steven Garcia will be released very soon. Not an exact date yet, but some editing, as they have to do quite often with every guest. They'll You'll get that done, and that'll be out very soon. All right, plenty more today on Carolina baseball. The Gamecocks and the Dogs out to start tonight, game one. It's a very important three-game series. The SEC right now projected to get 7 host sites. Remember what I was saying a couple weeks ago? Maybe I'm smarter than you think. Maybe. And these two certainly are two of those 7. So you can say it's going to go a long way. Coming up next, the fabulous, fabulous, fabulous Debbie Antonelli joins us right here inside the game competition.
Gamecock Traditions, South Carolina's elite retailer for anything Gamecock related. The best selection for basketball, baseball, football, tailgating, kids stuff, and everything else. If it's got the Gamecock logo, it's gotta be at Gamecock Traditions. Most importantly, they ship it to your doorstep. Order online at GamecockTraditions.com, where there's always a sale. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, a tradition unlike the others.
So he comes over to me and he says, listen to me. I don't want to hear one more word out of you about my refereeing today. You say one more word about my refereeing, then you're going to be thrown out of this game. And so I turned around to all my parents. I go, hey, parents, I'm not allowed to tell the ref how bad he is, so I'm going to need you to do that for me.
Oh.
He said, you're
gone. I'm a beggar who could use some help. I'm a seeker searching for myself. I'm a rolling stone just waiting on a friend. I'm a lover wishing on a star for another, with a broken heart to hold each other close till the end.
Nana's Porch, nanasporch.com. At Nana's Porch, they cater weddings, parties, and all kinds of special events. Their meals are served buffet style, and seconds, they're encouraged. Plus, they can bring their mobile food unit to bring on-site and serve your guests as a unique alternative for your catering needs. Inquire about rentals as well. nanasporch.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. 336-259-7550.
Tony Pope State Farm is your go-to agent anywhere in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Georgia for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining your home, life, auto, and or small business insurance today. Tony Pope State Farm has been in business for more than 30 years and can handle anything you need in the tri-state area. 843-851-2222 or visit TonyPope.com today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.